Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
That's where you find the best buttons, right? In a tourist shop, and the ones you also shield your kids' eyes from. It said, to err is human, to forgive is out of the question, right? And I didn't expect any amens quite yet. Many of the epistles, many of the letters in the back of your Bible mention something of grace and peace in their opening statements. 2 Timothy 2, Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says, he begins with this admonition to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So what does it mean this morning to be strong in grace? Of course, many of us understand and perhaps would give our definition, could give a definition of grace, right? God's unmerited favor in our lives. And maybe you can even give this clever acrostic for grace that I learned back in my college days at JMU. Here it is. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Maybe you've heard that. But what does this mean this morning in an experiential sense? How can we live our lives strong in grace? The answer is quite plain and simple. We grow strong in grace when we understand God's unconditional forgiveness of us, then learn to unconditionally forgive others. God calls us to grow strong in giving grace to others, and that is growing in Christ-likeness. You see, giving grace to another person is simply to forgive them unconditionally, just as God forgave us through Christ. So what is forgiveness? Here's the definition we're going to use this morning. This is the definition of forgiveness. A deliberate release of anger, resentment, and other negative feelings towards someone who has wronged you, who sinned against you, who's wounded you. A deliberate release of anger, resentment, and other negative feelings. Good morning. I am Pastor Billy, and I serve here as the pastor of discipleship. If this is your first time, I am grateful to bring the word this morning. We've been in a series titled Hurdles, as you can see there on the screen. We've been in this series. It's the fourth week. If you've missed any of the previous three, I encourage you to go back and check up on this. This has been a deepening, engaging series. And so week one, we talked about sanctification before salvation. Really, the main juxta of the message there was a lot of times we get familiar with church life and coming to church, and we go through the motions, and we want to really live this life that we're hearing about on Sunday morning and hearing about in maybe if you're in a life group. But really, we've never been changed from the inside out. And so it's really difficult. We've never let God actually give us new life. The second week, we talked about many of the hurdles that our culture presents to us, the moment we're living in our cultural moment, and how some of those are hurdles for us in our faith, in our journey, and how to navigate many of those. And then last week, Pastor Kevin talked about what we would often call little sins, the hurdle of little sins, just a little dancing away with darkness. And it's not really that big a deal, but how that really makes no sense. And so this picks up our final sermon of today. The final hurdle for us in this series is the grudge. Unforgiveness in our lives. Now, I want to make a note. Many of you, if you're middle school or if you're in the room, you should have a stone unless you're a child. If you don't have a stone, they're out there. And I have some here at the foot of the cross. But hold on to that stone. I'll give you more information about this later, but please refrain from throwing them at me if you don't like what you hear today, okay? I had the person handing them out there, Don said to me, he said, do you think this is really a good idea? And I said, well, we will see about that. Should have chose tomatoes. All right, here we go. We're talking about the hurdle of holding a grudge, holding unforgiveness. This is the definition of a grudge we're using today. It's here. This is from Merriam-Webster. Right? A grudge is this, a persistent, long-lasting feeling of deep-seated resentment, bitterness, or ill will towards someone, often stemming from a past insult, injury, or perceived wrongdoing. It involves holding on to anger rather than letting it go, sometimes leading to a desire for retaliation or a continued refusal to forgive. A grudge. Now, I want to say from the beginning, not all negative emotions are the same, okay? There is healthy anger. There's healthy anger that motivates action, that sets boundaries, that seeks solutions in our lives. However, a grudge, what we're talking about today, this deep-seated resentment, this bitterness, this unforgiveness that is in our hearts, acts as a long-lasting emotional weight with negative outcomes ultimately in our life. Unlike fleeting anger, grudges do not fade quickly. Instead, they linger in our minds, in our hearts, often resurfacing when we're triggered or even shaping how we will perceive future events. Psychologists often describe grudges as unresolved anger paired with unwillingness to forgive. And listen, the psychologists, the studies, the science, this is apart from what God has to say about it. It negatively impacts your relationship with God. Yes, we're going to talk about that. It negatively impacts your relationship with others, but it affects your health, both mentally and physically, and ultimately it affects your soul. And so that's why we're talking about it in a series on hurdles. A gentleman by the name of Joe Barnett, he illustrated it this way. He said, a grizzly bear lumbered into a clearing where garbage had been dumped. Tourists noticed that there was only one animal the grizzly would permit to eat with him, a skunk. Doubtless, he resented the skunk's brazen impudence. He could have easily won a fight with the two-tone intruder, but he didn't. Why? Because he knew the high cost of getting even. Smart grizzly, much smarter than the thousands of humans who spend weary days and sleepless nights brooding over resentments and inventing ways to get even. Dr. S.I. McMillan says that a disordered emotional life is a frequent cause of ulcerative colitis, toxic goiters, high blood pressure, and scores of other diseases. If the truth were revealed, thousands of death certificates would record that the victims died of grudge-itis. Scoffers have ridiculed the advice of Jesus, love your enemies. Impractical, idealistic, absurd. Now psychiatrists are recommending it as a panacea, a cure-all for many of man's ills. When the great physician said forgive, he prescribed good medicine not only for our souls, but for our bodies too. The moment I start hating a man or woman, I become their slave. He controls my thoughts. He hounds me wherever I go. It's a pretty good illustration. And this hurdle is important to address today because it's crucial, literally, for us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Paul writes in Romans 12, he's writing to the church in Rome, and he says, hey, you got to be transformed. Don't conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is what further study has shown, that the limbic system, includes the amygdala, plays a central role in this process. When an individual feels wronged, the amygdala triggers heightened emotional centers responsible for anger, fear, and disgust. This for survival mechanism, originally meant to protect us against threats, is activated, keeping negative memories vivid and prompting a cycle of rumination that prolongs emotional distress. Paul understood something here by the power of God, that we must be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so my question is, do you want to be freed today? Because Jesus says, when the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And I believe that the Spirit of God wants to set someone free today, and perhaps it's you. Perhaps it's many of you in the room, and maybe even listening online. I'm gonna give you a few scriptures here, but here's where we're beginning, Hebrews chapter 12. They're gonna be on the screen behind me. You can follow along in your copy of God's word, but we're gonna jump to Hebrews 12. The writer of Hebrews says this. He's articulating what happens when we fall short of grace in our lives, right? We're talking, this series is on hurdles. And so one hurdle is unforgiveness. It's this hurdle of a grudge, this bitterness, this resentment that's underlying in our hearts. This is what the writer of Hebrews says. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. We want to clear these hurdles and finish the race. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Do you hear the language that the writer is using? From the get-go, he's saying, not forgiving means to fall short of the grace of God, and that result is bitterness, often a grudge in our hearts. The root of bitterness doesn't destroy the other person. Instead, destroys us and those closest to us. You see, friends, as we dive into this, there is no middle ground when it comes to forgiveness. We either apply God's grace or we follow down the road towards bitterness and resentment. This is what Paul writes in Ephesians 4, verse 30. Ephesians 4, verse 30, he says this. He's instructing the church in Ephesus on how to live as believers, how to live in the way of Jesus. And this is what he says in 4, verse 30. He says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness." Now I want to pause there for a minute. In the original language, that word "all" actually means all, okay? You all thought I was gonna be like studious or something. Oh, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. That's the word of the Lord for us. Now stay with me here, don't check out. Christians, those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, are called to put away the things which have entangled unbelievers, what used to rule in our hearts, what used to hold us captive. And Paul lists them here. He's writing to the church. He says that includes sins such as malice. This is a spiteful desire to do ill towards someone else. Slander, commotion, which is this raging anger, this brawlingness that is in us, and bitterness. Instead, he says, be changed by God's Spirit and demonstrate a Christ-like attitude of love and forgiveness. He says, forgive others the way Christ God has forgiven you. And so I ask you this morning, friends, each one in the room, do you understand? Do you understand how much grace you have been given in your life? That's what this season really is. This season, as we move towards Easter in our faith and in the church life, and we move through this season of Lent, we really step back to remember the grace that we have been given. Do you understand how much grace that you have been given in your life? You see, because as Kevin talked about last week, and the scripture reminds us over and over, sin is not a minor thing to a holy God. Sin against God is seen as a grave offense with serious consequences. Eternal consequences. So much so that it required the death of God's own Son, Jesus Christ, to provide atonement. Oswald Chambers said it this way. Bear with me on this. He said, "We trample the blood of the Son of God if we think we are forgiven because we're sorry for our sins. The only explanation for the forgiveness of God and for the unfathomable depth of his forgiving is the death of Jesus Christ. Our repentance is merely the outcome of our personal realization of the atonement which he has worked out for us. It does not matter who or what we are, there is absolute reinstatement into God by the death of Jesus Christ and by no other way. Not because Jesus Christ pleads, but because he died. It is not earned, but accepted. All the pleading which deliberately refuses to recognize the cross is of no avail. It is a battering at a door other than the one that Jesus has already opened. Our Lord does not pretend we are all right when we are all wrong. The atonement is a propitiation whereby God, through the death of Jesus, makes an unholy man holy." Whew. And we can go to lunch. I have it written here. I didn't even realize this in this Ephesians passage in my Bible. It says, "We are not forgiven because God is love, but because of the cross of Christ." God was love before Jesus ever died. He didn't change because Jesus offered himself on the cross for us. But that is the only way into life with God forever. You see, the purpose of the cross, friends, I want you to understand this. We must understand the magnitude of his grace. The purpose of the cross, as someone observed, is to repair the irreparable in our lives and in the world. That is the sole purpose of the cross, to repair that which is irreparable. So do you understand how much grace you and I have been given? You see, once we've experienced God's forgiveness and grace in our lives, we are called to treat others in the same way. Listen, they may not deserve it, but neither did you and I when God forgave us. We just read it. Forgive others as Christ has forgiven you. And listen, when we look at God's word throughout the Bible, we're reminded that our relationship with God isn't just this one-on-one thing. God cares immensely how we relate to other people. If someone says, John writes, the Apostle John later in 1 John, back towards the end of your Bible, he says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother and sister, he is a liar. Let that sink in. He said, how can you say that you love God who you have not seen if you don't love your brother who you have seen? And so if our relationship with God is so intricately connected with how we relate to others, it won't be surprising then for us to read what Jesus has to say about this. Matthew 6 and verse 14. This comes directly after, it's actually like the conclusion. It's like the summary of what Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. Maybe you've heard it growing up. Maybe you've said it many times. It's called the Lord's Prayer, right? In Matthew 6, we've heard it, right? Our Father who art in heaven. Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray, and then he finishes that, and this is what he says at the conclusion in verse 14. He says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And he's expounding. He's unpacking further one way that he has just taught his disciples to pray. And if we are followers of Jesus today, if we've put in our faith in him for salvation, then you have stepped into the calling of discipleship. Here's what he says a couple verses back in Matthew 6, verse 12. We're praying this, right? We know this. It's in the middle of the Lord's Prayer. And forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Now imagine this with me. Maybe you've never paused long enough. Imagine this. Before we get this warning from Jesus in verses 14 and 15 about not forgiving others and not being forgiven, Jesus told us to ask God for grace. Forgive us our debts. Ask God for forgiveness, but only at the same level and frequency that we are forgiving and extending it to other people in our lives. And friends, that can be simultaneously freeing and unnerving at the same time. Think of the many times in our lives that we have said to God, we've prayed this prayer, Lord, forgive me, but only as I'm forgiving others. That's a sobering prayer. That's a sobering reflection. One commentary I read said this. It said, some seared consciences unavailingly try to avoid the force of Jesus's warning by pleading that it does not apply to Christians. Others try to make out that their circumstances are so peculiar that they override Scripture. But listen, friends, as always, Jesus is our model. We are to extend grace, not necessarily because we think it's fair, but because in forgiving others, we recognize the forgiveness we ourselves have received in Christ Jesus. And listen, I admit that no one on their own power can live like that. But our Lord and Savior says, you must. Listen, there's two aspects of this verse that are difficult to process. Okay, first is this, that human nature, your nature, my nature, human nature, our flesh struggles to conceive of forgiving those who have hurt us. Many of you have someone in your mind right now. Human beings can do depraved, horrible things to each other. Some atrocities are difficult to describe or to think about, let alone thinking about forgiving someone who has done them. All the same, Jesus insists we understand how much God has forgiven us for. You see, in Matthew, a few chapters later in Matthew 18, Jesus is going to give this parable of the unmerciful servant. And he explains that we have all sinned against God. And in comparison, our sin against God is far more than any person could ever sin against you and I. And I was driving here this morning and I thought of this, you know, the little catchism, whatever it's called, but I thought about that statement right there. The sin that we have committed against the holy God is far greater than anything anybody has ever committed against us. And you say, well, Pastor, you don't know what they did. And my question is, but did you die? Read carelessly though, listen, stay with me. Read carelessly this teaching that Jesus is expounding on here about forgiving others if you wanna be forgiven. If you read it carelessly, it's difficult to square with the idea that God's grace is a free gift, one in no way dependent on a person's work. Yet that is the persistent teaching of all the Gospels and the New Testament, that Jesus' death pays for our sin and his perfect righteousness becomes ours through faith. Jesus, listen to me. Jesus does not mean that forgiving other people is a condition for our salvation. Forgiving other people is not a condition to receive salvation from Christ, but that forgiveness is the expected condition of those who have been saved. You see, some of you may be still asking this question. So, Pastor, does this mean that those who refuse to forgive others can still be saved? And ultimately, friends, that is the wrong question. That's the wrong question this morning. God's intent is for all true Christians, those believers, those who have been born again, who have been forgiven by the death of Jesus for their offenses and sin against God, to turn and freely forgive anyone who has wronged and sinned against them. In other words, this verse of Jesus speaks to the evidence of our salvation, not the condition for it. So how are you doing today with forgiveness, with the grudge, with the bitterness? You see, this is a hurdle for us because whether we admit it or not, we often think, listen, we've been there. We often think that we have the right to punish others because they've hurt us, they've wounded us, they've offended us. And we make every excuse because we believe we're justified in withholding forgiveness from them. Now listen, many of us would never say it out loud, but there are times when we feel we are owed the power of holding something over someone because of what they did. They deserve us because they hurt us on purpose. However, friends, listen. However, I love you enough to tell you today, and it's on the screen, unforgiveness is inherently contradictory to godliness. Unforgiveness and godliness do not go together. That's why this is a hurdle that we gotta clear. You see, sin disorients and distorts our thinking. Sin does not let God be God, but entices us to that assume that role in our lives. And friends, unforgiveness is sin. Unforgiveness, a grudge, bitterness, resentment in our hearts is sin. Pastor Kyle Eidelman, we've discussed some of his topics and writings in some of our life groups. He said the reality is this, that many tend to deal with our feelings of hurt, anger, and bitterness in two ways. Either through repression, we hold them down. We just try to sit on the cage of that 800-pound gorilla and hoping that they're not gonna come to the surface. Either by repression or two, by rehearsal. We rehash our least favorite memories over and over and over, and that deep-seated resentment just sinks deeper. But listen, friends, I charge you today, it's time to release it. Stop repressing it, stop rehearsing it, and release it. And I admit from the beginning that grace and forgiveness can be painful and messy. It does not mean that what happened to you was okay. It does not mean that it did not hurt. But because the grace of God is greater in our lives, it does mean you and I can extend forgiveness to whomever has wounded and sinned against us. Listen, if we're real honest, when we are the wounder, when we're the guilty one in the relationship, we hope for grace. And I'd say we often just apply it to ourselves. But when we're the one that's been wounded, when we're the one that's been sinned against, what do we want? We want justice. If we're being honest, we want justice. And I heard it said to me many years ago, and it's here on the screen. A man said this to me. He said, often it's the case that we judge others by their worst actions, and we judge ourselves by our best intentions. Actions and intentions are two different things, friends. Listen, I've been guilty of this in my own life far too many times, but I must not accept it or tolerate it as okay, and neither can you if we want to follow in the way of Jesus faithfully. And listen, this can be a difficult topic, particularly for those who have experienced some kind of abuse. I can't imagine, I'm not going to pretend to imagine what you have been through, perhaps, if you're in this room. But I know one who knows that deep pain and weeps with you. And he loves you too much to leave you there. He has life far more abundant for you on the other side of forgiveness. And listen, perhaps there's many in the room that you're holding on to unforgiveness towards someone because they've wounded you, they've sinned against you so badly. And to sin against someone creates a wound, a physical wound, an emotional wound, a mental wound, a relational wound. Typically, we try to justify it with, but you don't know what I've been through. Listen, not after what they done to me. It's too painful to even think about, Pastor. Listen, there's father wounds, mother wounds, marital wounds, church wounds, enemy wounds, family wounds, self wounds. And to trivialize or overlook suffering today, when we talk about this hurdle of unforgiveness, to trivialize it would be to not embrace the compassion of the Savior or recognize the necessity of the cross, of the gospel in our lives. The gospel implies that sin is real and it's damaging and it's hurtful and it's hard to change. So maybe internally you're wrestling and you're saying, well, does a person need to be completely healed of the effects of that wounding, of that sin, of that offense before they must and can extend grace and forgiveness to the other person? And the short answer is no. Let me read you this. This was found in the clothing of a dead child at Ravensbrück concentration camp. Those words just make us uncomfortable anyway, don't they? At the end of World War II, this prayer was found tucked in the inside of a dead child's clothing at Ravensbrück. It said, "Oh Lord, remember not only the men and women of goodwill, but also those of ill will. But do not remember all the suffering they inflicted upon us. Instead, remember the fruits we have borne because of this suffering, our fellowship, our loyalty to one another, our humility, our courage, our generosity, the greatness of heart that has grown from this trouble. When our persecutors come to be judged by you, let all these fruits that we have borne be their forgiveness." Whew. Their forgiveness. Listen, the grace of forgiveness costs you your obedience and courage and humility. It does not mean tolerating and accepting or that what happened was okay, but it does mean to truly forgive and to let it go. And listen, I could show you, I could read to you many moving examples, powerful examples of forgiveness, of the grace of forgiveness in someone's life. But here's the reality, friends. The thing you and I need the most is to experience that freedom in our life and our relationships today. Just as we do not deserve God's forgiveness, someone you know may not deserve yours at all. But the sobering reality is that doesn't matter. We're still commanded by our Lord to forgive them because we have been forgiven so much first. Two relationships depend on forgiveness, yours with God and others with you. And until you find a person to be in relationship with who has absolutely no flaws, forgiveness will need to be one constant in every relationship. And listen, you and I can live daily as believers, followers of Jesus, clearing these hurdles. We can live daily with an understanding that God has forgiven us far more than we will ever need to forgive in other people. And so my question is, are you living out today, in your day-to-day life, are you living out in your relationships what you claim to believe? Does your practice line up with your profession? When it comes to this hurdle and all the hurdles we've discussed in this series, here's the truth today, and it's on the screen. The devil doesn't care if you go to church or read your Bible as long as you don't apply it to your life. You can do both of those things. You can go to church, you can read the scriptures occasionally and still be proud, still be bitter and divisive and full of hate and broken and unforgiving and at worst, unforgiven yourself. You see, bitterness and unforgiveness, a grudge, it hinders revival. It hinders God's purposes in and through your life, in and through your family. It's self-prescribed cancer to your soul. Unforgiveness actually keeps us from gaining an intimate audience with God. So today, if you evaluate your life, are you struggling to experience joy and peace in your relationships, in your relationship with Christ? Does it feel like there's just something there? Perhaps, maybe today, perhaps you have some unforgiveness, some bitterness, some resentment that's been lying deep down in there somewhere and you've not dealt with it yet. Here's the litmus test. Have you extended the grace of God, the grace of forgiveness towards the person or persons who have hurt you the most and least deserve it? And you say, that isn't fair, Pastor. Grace isn't fair. That's what makes it grace. And listen, our response to that may show how far we have to go in really realizing how merciful God has been to you and I. Because it's only by experiencing the fullness of the gospel and receiving a new spirit, the Holy Spirit, that we are able to do that today. And listen, the reality is this, some of you in the room, maybe online, some of you need to truly be saved and born again today of the Spirit of God so that this reality can be true in your actual life and relationships. Today, that is possible, friends. As we move to close, one article expounded on it this way. It said, the choice is clear and extremely serious. Determine not to fall short of the grace of God. Remember that Christ forgave you far beyond what you deserve and forgive others in the same way. Give up that grudge or bitterness. Forgive that family member, that friend, that associate at work, or other person with whom you have a problem with. The stakes are high. For if you fail to grow strong in grace and are unable to forgive, you are charting a path to pain and heartbreak, and not for the other person, but for yourself. Here's the definition we started with. Forgiveness, a deliberate release of anger and resentment and other negative feelings towards someone who has wronged you. Here's the bottom line today, friends. Here's the bottom line. Forgiveness is an action you must choose rather than a feeling you must create. It's an action you choose. And today, the choice is clear and it's yours. Don't delay. The invitation is this. It's first to repent if the Spirit has stirred in your heart these feelings, this emotion, someone, some relationship. The first thing is to repent of the sin of unforgiveness in your life. Don't bypass that. Repent of that sin of unforgiveness and then release it so you no longer have to carry the anger, the resentment, the grudge, no matter how justified you feel in doing so. Repent and release. Repent and forgive today. You see, in the Gospel of John in chapter 8, Jesus is going to the temple and he's going to teach and the Pharisees, they just want to trap him, right? They can't stand what he's doing. They can't stand what he's saying. He's calling them out. He's challenging them and they're trying to set a trap for him. So they bring this woman who's caught in the act of sin, adultery, and they bring her and they throw her at the feet of Jesus. And there's all kinds of problems going on here, but we don't have time to address that. But they throw her at his feet and they say, Jesus, they say the law of Moses says that this woman deserves to be stoned because of her sin. What do you say? And so they're setting a trap for Jesus. If Jesus says stone her, then he doesn't look like the loving Messiah that he claims to be, the one who is ushering in the kingdom of God. And so on the other hand, if Jesus says let her go, then he breaks the law of Moses. And then he's a rebel. So Jesus draws in the sand and they continue to press him. And so Jesus stands and he looks at the accusers. He looks at the ones who feel justified in giving this woman what she deserves. And he says, okay, let the one who is without sin throw the first stone. And then he bends down and he begins to write in the sand, and the scriptures record that it says they begin to walk away. They begin to leave one by one, starting with the eldest. Maybe the eldest had learned a little humility at that time. They begin to leave. They felt justified in what they were going to do to this woman because her sin deserved it. But in this moment, Jesus exposes a common sin, the desire to punish the sins of others while ignoring our own sin, unforgiveness. But we're justified. So the invitation today is to simply choose to obey God and not your feelings. Listen, it doesn't always mean that reconciliation is going to happen, but it does mean we release the grudge, our justification to punish the other person, and we forgive. And here's the reality. Sometimes our outward posture must move to reorient the posture of our heart. And posturing our heart in true humility before God is at the root of all righteousness, friends. So here's the invitation. You each received a stone when you came in. Perhaps you have no unforgiveness, there's no bitterness, you have peace in your heart today that does not apply to you. The Holy Spirit has not nudged you. You don't feel any of that deep in you. Praise God for that. Hold on to that stone and return it when you leave. Return it to the bin that it came from. But here's the invitation today. If that is you, if you've been nudged, if you felt that, if there's bitterness, if there's resentment, if there's a grudge or unforgiveness, and you realize that you have not let it go, the invitation is to come forward and to drop your stone in the four tins that are in front of the altars, to repent and to release it and to forgive. An altar is a place really of consecration. It's a place of surrender. It's a place of transformation. It's a place of freedom. And so when you come today, that's what you're coming to, as you come to drop your stone. And remember this morning, friends, to repent of the sin of unforgiveness towards whoever it is that the Lord has placed, the Holy Spirit has pressed on your heart. Ask the Lord to help you and choose to forgive. And drop your stone and walk away in freedom. Would you stand with me today? Let's pray. Lord, the choice is clear today, and you've given us that choice. Help us to not delay whatever your Spirit is speaking to us, God. We thank you for the freedom, the forgiveness, the grace that you have bought for us because of the cross. May it truly change us from the inside out today and transform our lives and all our relationships today, God, as we let it go. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.